To give us a new name, I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, happy Mother's Day, and I'm glad I don't have to say that for another year. My. Yeah, bah humbug. Bah humbug. The commercialization of everything we do in America is just. Who made Mother's Day? Who made Father's Day? I bet it was the guys who invented cards. What's the name of that group? It was Hallmark. I bet Hallmark started Mother's Day and Father's Day. Reminds me of a story, a guy who worked in prison as a prison guard. And he said that he was found out early on in his job as he worked at the prison that the guys would come up to him, and as Mother's Day approached, they would all ask him, "Hey, could you get me a Mother's Day card on the outside? Could you get me one, bring it in so I could send it to my mama?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." And so he began to, word spread around that this guard would get the Mother's Day card for him. And so he said it got to the point where it would be, he had like, 100 inmates needed Mother's Day cards to send to their mother. So he did it, and he got to send them all out for him and everything. And said, "I'm going to get ahead of this," because he had trouble. He said he went to the store to get the Mother's Day cards, and there weren't many because everybody was buying them. So there weren't a whole lot of them at the store. So he said, "I'm going to get ahead of this." So I'm going to, Father's Day's coming up sometime here. And when is it? June? June. Father's Day's coming up here in June. He said, "I'm going to get ahead of this. I'll get me a bunch of Father's Day cards. And when those inmates want them, then I'll have them for them." So he went out and bought about 100 cards, whatever. Ordered them online. Make the story however you want to make it. Got himself a bunch of Father's Day cards, and was all prepared. And not one inmate asked for a Father's Day card. That ought to tell something right there, shouldn't it, boys? What was it? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And it's so sad that in today's culture, today's society, Mother's Day is not really motherhood is really not all that valued. Really isn't, being a mother. And our young kids today, I think I explained to all of you that I had the conversation with our two daughters, Michelle and I, we have three children. And had the discussion with our daughters early on that they needed to start having babies. By the way, they each have two, another one on the way. So good. Now we get Zach married off and get him figured out how this thing works. But the greatest thing that a person can ever do is give life to another. It's just without doubt it is. And so as Jared was saying before we came on, really it's your duty. We have Mother's Day to honor what really is your duty, and as I was coming home yesterday afternoon, drove through town. I could not believe every eating establishment was packed. Every one of them, people standing in line. And dumb me, I said to Michelle, "What the heck's going on? Everybody's out to eat today." And finally she looked over at me. She says, "Mother's Day." And it hit me. Yeah. Everything's commercialized. We follow everything like little tin soldiers, get in line, follow everything. Hey, I want to listen, our numbers are really climbing for, help me out here. All hands on deck, June 14, 15. Our numbers are beginning to climb. I'm getting emails from people saying, "Listen, Coach, you know I'm coming. Do I need to sign up online?" Yeah, please do. Please do. Because, this is really a unique event in that we're going to try to feed you. Where we hold this event's out in the country. There ain't any place to eat out in the country. So for $30, I thought it's just going to be easy. We'll just bring food in. We'll bring food in to everybody. So that's why we need to know how many are coming. And that's why we're charging you $30. It includes four meals, which will be brought to you. And it'll be good stuff. But our numbers are going up. And, my good buddy Rob Pugh up in Wisconsin, Rob says, "Let's get 500 people there." And I appreciate his attitude. I'm more along the line of 100. I'd like to have 100 guys who are really, really in. Not being critical of Rob, because I think we need be great to have 500, and we'll build towards that. But I'd like to have 100 men, women, 100 people that we. I'm telling you, we can raise some great heaven with 100 people. 100 people come, and I've told you we're going to go to a Friday afternoon. If you could, we'd like you to get in Thursday night. Hotels and everything's on our website. You can find all that. But if you want to, if you don't have money, camping is free. Sleeping on the floor is free. Primitive camping's free. There's a campground nearby. If you want to pay to have a nice campground, you can do that. There's hotels, however you want to stay. But don't let money be an obstacle. And as I was trying to tell everybody last week, if you go online and order some of this stuff, I'll build us a little bit of a war chest that people can come. People don't have the finances. We can help them get here free. But really what I want to try to do, no, we're not going broke. We're not. No. No. Do you? Just curious about you. When you have ample finances, you stop trying to get more? I look at it as I can help more people. That help us out here. Then I forgot about this. And those of you who came to the Occupy 2018 conference, we had a glitch with our CD production. And so it threw us back a couple of days. Yes, we're doing it. We thought they were going to be done last weekend. I won't get into the whole details with it, but we had a glitch, and so they're not quite produced yet. We hope to get them out this weekend. So if you're out there and you're wondering, I know we haven't forgotten them. They're going to be coming. We're placing our orders now. So if you $35, I think it's what they're $35 or $40. All the Hear the Watchman, Restizdar, L.A. Marzulli, David Arthur, Mike Spaulding, it's all there, video. You can play it over and over and over and bring people into your home and do Bible studies, that kind of stuff. Okay, is that all the housekeeping I need to do? Yeah, there is. Hey, Jared, go to our Facebook page. Somebody jump in here real quick. I just took up eight minutes, not really saying a whole lot.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, hey, Jeff.
Good morning. Hey, just wanted to mention on this deal, I'd like to share with the guys just what comes out of you helping some of these people. I know, like with David, we got him that Toyota 4Runner. It's an 04 Toyota 4Runner, a nice vehicle. At my discount, at my wholesale cost at $3,900, that was a great buy on that. And we just sent off Ray yesterday after church, Ray LeBlanc. He's so happy to be back in that van. I mean, he is tickled. But we got that van done, the tranny purchase and the labor, $1,100. That would be $2,000 or more at any other shop. And then the week while he was gone waiting on his van, I stuck him in my Cadillac and said, listen, take that thing to Tennessee and come back in a week. And he loved cruising around, and he had a lot of things to go do, but that was so convenient on just saving probably $1,000 on that repair for Ray. So your money went to good use on quite a few things there. So just to let the guys know, that's where it goes.
So people know this, and I'm not patting myself on the back. We put the transmission in Ray LeBlanc's truck, van. We did. Jeff did. We paid for it. We had to put it in there. Ray runs all across America delivering stuff for us. I said, why should any soldier go to warfare at his own charges, his own expenses? What the scripture says. So your financial support gave Ray a new transmission in an old van. And yes, we got David Arthur, a brand new Ford 4Runner, is that what you said it was, Jeff? And yes, we paid for that. And yes, it was probably more money than we had, more money we spent, but we did a little bit of credit on it. And David Arthur is now in a new vehicle. So that's kind of stuff that we do with it, okay?
And Ray was going to pay $500 to have a rental car for that week to go to Tennessee and back. And I said, no, you're not. That's crazy.
Amen. So, folks, if we can't help each other with the money, why even have the money? That's which what bugs me about church. Church is rarely there to help people. Chad, you there today, Chad?
Sir, yes, sir, I'm here.
Come on in here, man. Tell us what's going on down there in Texas.
Well, we are putting together a group. Just, you know, I know finances are tight with a lot of people, so I'd like to put it out there. If everybody can, as many people or whatever can get to my place, or if I can pick you up along the way, send me an email. Send me an email, and so I know a head count, so I know what all to bring, and then, you know.
So, Chad, you're willing to help people get to Ohio for the June 14th and 15th event. Whether it's rent a couple vans, whatever, rent a bus, whatever. Anybody that wants to go, they need to contact you from down in that area, and you'll help them get up here. Don't you say?
That's right. That's right.
But you see it as that important, don't you, Chad? Church camp for adults.
We need to get there. We need to get there. You know, we're trying to eliminate. Look, if your excuse is you don't have a ride, we're going to eliminate that. If your excuse is you can't afford it, we're going to eliminate that. So now we want you to go. We want you to be a part of it because it's important. It'll change your life. So you need to know that what we're trying to do here, you know, be involved.
So get a hold of Chad. Or if you say, I don't know how to get a hold of Chad, get a hold of me and I'll forward it to Chad. We would like all of you. We'd like, as I said, Rob Pugh said 500. I'm shooting for 100. I think if we have 100, it'll be great. I believe we're going to get 100. And it's just got to become, it's got to be, I'm not trying to guilt anybody. You want to grow in your faith? You want to grow in your faith. If somebody came along to you and said, hey, listen, we're going to go on a hunting trip. Or how about this one? I hear it all the time. We're going to go down to Carolinas on a golf trip, men's weekend golf trip. And guys doing that stuff all the time. Say, hey, come on up to Ohio, and we're going to have a church camp for adults, and we're going to go out, and we're going to do some street ministry. Oh, boy, I don't know if I can work that in. It's got to become a priority, too.
And, well, Dave, it's like you said, too. You know, it's stick figure. We got a huge head. We're getting all this information. There's not another ministry that's like this doing it, going out and doing stuff. It's not active. Also, I want to just say, also, look, you may not be able to get off work. You may have certain, you know, your health conditions or whatever to prohibit you from really going out and getting away from that. But if you're able to sponsor some other people that want to go, that would be great, you know, and just, you know, we need to work together as the body of Christ. Amen.
That's right. Listen, the greatest thing, maybe you can't make it. The greatest thing you could, I've had a couple do this. This is why I know. Send us a couple $100 and say, hey, coach, put this towards somebody else's trip. And so we're able to scholarship. Scholarship them by meaning they can come. They don't have to worry about money. Don't have to worry about it. Everybody worries about money. But you understand money won't prevent them from coming. 36 folks in here today. Cool. Hey, Jared, I got a lot of stuff here. Let's go here real quick. I want to do this. Jared, let's go to my Facebook page. I was thinking, as Jared's gone there, I was just trying to, do you guys understand, really understand the hell we were under for 8 years of Obama? You really understand? Has that really, as you look back over it, has it really sunk in? Can you think, now come on, can you think, I'm open-minded here. Can you tell me one area of American life he made better? I'll wait. Now let's not our hatred of him. Let's just look at this. Can you one area of American life that Barack Hussein Obama made better?
If you're an idiot, it made your life better.
Maybe. I get what you're saying, Vince. Can you tell me one of his policies that bettered America? No. Better the advancement of America. Anybody?
It's not only the deception that Barack Obama brought, but also that what George Bush brought.
That's true. It just kind of bloomed under Obama, didn't it?
We all became aware of it under Obama. I was asleep under George Bush. I was asleep under Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Well, it just got worse and worse and worse as they embedded their people into the deep state, right? Really did. And folks, even the idea that the Barack Hussein Obama could become president of the United States, he could rise from absolute obscurity to president of the United States in, what, a matter of 6 years? He went from being a state senator. He went from being a community organizer to a state senator to U.S. Senate in a matter of, what, 4 years, 5 years? Man, you look back over your shoulder. Think that thing wasn't fixed? Come on here. Think that thing wasn't fixed?
I worked at Columbia University.
Yeah. Right?
And during I was actually there when they had Ahmadinejad at the university, and Lee Bollinger act like a total idiot.
Hmm.
Right? But right. I want to tell you, no one in that school had any affiliation with them. It was like he was Chuck Barris. He was never there. I believe, you know.
Well, the whole secrecy, right? The whole secrecy of where he came from, his college records, his birth, all that stuff is just such a fog and so fog. And we let them pull that crap off on us on 8 years. It's really, really amazing. And it's like Jared said, we're not mad enough yet. We'll get into that, Jared. I heard from several that Friday was the most energized show they'd ever seen, Friday. And it really was. It really, really was. We're not mad. And controlled anger. Remember, the scripture says, be angry and sin not. And it also says, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. And we've been told not to be angry. That's basically what we think that scripture teaches us. And I think the Bible, if it says, don't let the sun go down in your wrath, it's saying, do something about your anger before you go to sleep. That's what I think it says. If you have a problem with somebody, deal with it before you go to bed. Don't take that anger to bed with you. It doesn't say don't deal with it. It doesn't say don't be angry. Just deal with it before you go to sleep. And he who knows to do good, not to do it to him, and to sin. We know a lot of good things to do. We're not doing them. How do we balance that? For he who knows to do good and not to do it to him, it is sin. You know some stuff, think babies ought to be saved? Are you doing anything about it? I think the Bible says you're in sin. I think. Schools are destroying your kids. You know it. You don't do anything about it. I think it's sin. I think. For him to know to do good, not to do it, to him it is sin. Or how about to him who's convinced himself it's not evil? That's what it is. Well, our schools are better than other schools. Our school's not like everybody else. And then I watch around, and it just astonishes me that people continue to vote for school levies. I can't even. Oh, Lord. Anybody want to weigh in on all that? I got 35
Dave, I was just going to say that, you know, I think part of the thing is that the problems are so systemic. They're so big. There's so many of them. And all you hear on the news is this bad. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and someone saved a puppy. Bad. And so people don't know. They're just like, golly, where do I start? Well, just pick something and go.
Just go and do. That's right.
I mean, look at it. Tracy Beans and Liz Cronkin, they're not investigating the same thing. They picked something and they went with it. And that's what I'm saying. So, but there's already people investigating stuff. I'm glad that they do that. I don't care to do that. I know I want to learn enough about it to be educated, and then right. I can move forward. I can talk to people about it, and I can take action as needed.
Amen. Well, we got to show people how to do it. That's what we're doing at All Hands on Deck. Jared, scroll down a little bit here on my Facebook page. I want people to see a little bit of a – now that I'm back on – now I'm back on Facebook, I can utilize this a little bit. On down farther. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Coach. Hey, I was just going to say that's a great point Chad made. You know, I think a lot of time, those that are new, you learn by being in the queue that you become sort of a specialist. And that's the event in June will be good because you'll be doing some things, and that may not be your ultimate calling. But you're going to get a taste of doing a lot of things. And Chad's right. We can't do everything, but all of us need to do something.
Yeah, and so we want to help you to do that. Now, George regularly goes to the abortion clinics, and he goes to the abortion clinics because he's been encouraged to do so. And I'm going to play a little clip here. I did a live video from one of the abortion clinics in Columbus on, I think it was on Saturday morning. Ray was there, and David Arthur's there, Jeff is there, Pastor Bill's there. We had several of us there. But for those of you never been there, I just want you to get a feel for what – I'm not going to play this whole video. But I want you to get a feel for what it's like. And in my mind's eye, I see hundreds of us out in front of this clinic. It'll be powerful. Now, I want to explain something before we get into it. The people who are wearing the vests are what we call death escorts. Death escorts. Escort, we put a D in front of it, death escorts. They're the ones who – escort the women in to kill their babies. They're volunteers. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, good morning, folks. Coach Dave here. Saturday morning, Mother's Day weekend. Isn't it Mother's Day weekend?
Yes.
It's Mother's Day weekend, so...
Wow.
What better place could you possibly be on Mother's Day weekend than outside a place that keeps you from being a mother? Gonna hold up here a little bit, give some of you a chance to jump in here to watch this video. I'd ask all of you to do this. This isn't gonna be real long. We're outside the abortion clinic in Columbus, Ohio, called Founders. Let me do a little flip-o here for you so you can see what I'm talking about here. This flips around. This is the abortion clinic right here. Now, I like to do this kind of tutorials for people who've never been here. That guy right there is what they call a death squirt. See that little green thing is? I try to warn him, try to tell him that a real man would rescue a baby. He would never ever be complicit in the death of a baby. But he's confused, so he's out here. And he's out here with some Pastor Bill's over here preaching. This is kind of what goes on.
The cause of their father, the curse of their father, and did not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness.
Yep, preach it, Pastor Bill.
There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up.
I'm going to move here a little bit, show you what's going on here. This is a very nondescript. These guys are all death squirts, all of them.
All of them.
And something's really unusual about it. We find out that a lot of these people, these people escort the women in. This guy's giving me a finger twice as he's run by here now. These people, it's really kind of odd. I don't know about all of them, but we find there's a direct link between homosexuality and abortion. A lot of these are lesbians, and some of them are lesbians and gays. And you say, well, Coach, what does that have to do anything with it? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with it other than they're both serving the same God. They're serving the same God, themselves or the devil, or whatever you want to. So there you can see. Now, this is a unique place here. This one's a little bit different. We got a few of us that are here today. And this clinic's a little bit different, and it's literally right on the street. Right on the street and down, well, they all are. I'm showing you, there's the old governor's mansion downtown Columbus, Ohio. That's where we are. It's called Founders Clinic. And so we got a few of us here. I want to show you a little bit of a tour here. See, what's going to happen back is where they pull in and blah. I'm going to walk you back there. They pull in back there and park, and then the death squad's marching forward. Here's Richards holding a sign.
There's a good man for you right there.
Down here on the corner is my girlfriend and my wife, Michelle. We've been married 37 years here on Mother's Day. Michelle, say hi to everybody there.
Hello, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.
We're here.
Happy Grandmother's Day to all you moms and grandmas.
And we're out here on Grandmother's Day trying to rescue these babies. Tom's over there. Tom's got his chair. I'm going to walk with you real quickly here so you understand what's going on. Let me flip this around and I'll walk as I talk to you. I get a lot of criticism. We get a lot of criticism when we're out here because people, there. Well, daggone it, there's a couple coming in right now. Right now they're walking in. Again, Michelle, the girl in the green, you hear the horn in the background. Every time somebody comes, she honks the horn so they can't hear us. They can't hear us preaching to them, okay? And so we have about 10, 15 seconds to try to yell at them as we go by, try to get their attention.
Okay,
so
Jared, that's enough.
Coach.
That's enough. Because otherwise I'm giving you, this thing goes on about, at the end of this video, it's something. At the end of this video, some guy comes walking up to me and you want to watch something. You ought to watch the last 5 minutes of this video. This educated moron comes in up and begins to argue with us over morality. It's stinking. So this is what it looks like. This is what it's like. We'd like to have public sidewalk. We'd like to have 100 people out in front of this thing. Now, we know that the other side watches our show, so they're going to be prepared to be there. Maybe they'll close the abortion clinic down that day. They tend to do that when they know a bunch of us are coming. But that's good because no babies will die on that day, and that'll be successful. But it's a great time for some of you. You get to go to the clinic that you've never had before. Now, Jared, if you'll stay on that page, I want folks to see what happened here. We did this as well on Saturday morning. Jared, go to the previous video on this page because we called the cops while we were there. We're always getting the cops called on us. Right there, Jared. Well, the cops, they're always calling the police on us. Well, we called the cops on them because the death squirts were playing They turned up their boombox real loud. They turned the boombox up real loud so that they can't hear us preaching or appealing to the life of the baby. So they turned the boombox up real loud. We're not allowed to do that. And if we had turned up a boombox real loud, they'd have called the police and the police would come and, you know, and then we'd had to deal with the police. So we beat them to the punch and we called the police and said, listen, well, here's a conversation. We won't watch all this, but here's what happens when the police pull up. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, folks, listen, Coach Dave here again. Sorry to do another video so quick here. But the cops are around. Hi, guys. So here's all we want to ask, officer. Because a lot of times when we come out here, there's a sound ordinance. They tell us we're not allowed to have sound amplification.
Can you hear that person?
Yeah, Michelle. Well, Michelle is allowed to do sound amplification. She just turned her stereo off. She beeps her horn. Yeah. I don't care. We just want the same standard of justice. That's all we want.
Nope. Car alarm won't stop. Stereo will turn up.
We just want the same treatment. Do you know what is the sound ordinance issue? Do you know? What's the standard by that?
It's a wimpy stereo and it doesn't even get loud.
That's one of the pro boys speaking.
Sound amplification. So we just want the same standard.
You can hear it 2 blocks away.
No, that's right. But she
I'm glad that he's
she turns the PA up over there, see.
I'm sorry for the quality
of my
video. I don't care
if she does that, but if we do it, then they call the cops on us because we're turning the radio up, right?
I use my alarm, and I'm going to use it.
You can hear the police officer in the background.
Can we discuss this for a minute?
We just want to bring ours.
Okay, you can turn that off, Jared, because my goatee needs trimmed. I'm just trying to show you that we believe that we have to begin to go on offense. We can't just sit around and wait for them to call the police on us. And so what we've done now here is we've created a record of the police officer saying, no sound amplification, and if they do it, you're allowed to do it. And if you'd heard as the conversation continued, the law is just so daggone confusing. It's just unbelievable. There are two sets of laws, two sets of rules. And so we're trying to explain that. And so we have to begin to quit being so nice to everybody when in the midst of this fight. So I just want you guys to get a feel for that because we're going to take you all there and we're going to do this. Hey, Jared, forward this a little bit. See if I don't get a picture of the police officer. As I was doing this, I was being fair to the police officer, and then I didn't. Sometimes they don't like to be on the screen. There he is. There he is. Good, play that right there, Jim. Right?
If the protesters are using their voice, it's not going
to
buy.
We're not worried about the voice. I'm not trying to be argumentative, officer.
No, I'm just explaining.
She uses sound amplification. They tell us we're not allowed to.
It's not sound amplification if it's a boombox and we're listening to it's not loud, though, so I'm not really worried about it.
You're not going to win this argument. I just want to know.
We already know that.
Right?
But... I mean, it does baffle me how adults are acting like 2-year-olds.
I got you.
But yes, it is an unwinnable argument. That's right.
That's when the other cops is talking. Okay, Jared, now you can shut it off. So I want everybody to know we're respectful to the police officers, but there's two sets of rules and regulations. Okay, come on in here. Somebody, comments. We're going
to
take you there.
I wanted to say something else, okay? It's also that there's going to be inconsistency on how that's enforced also because you're going to get different cops showing up and they're going to have a different interpretation. Okay, the second thing is also people that are going to come and do that. Also, we need to realize we're not just in a van. We're not just going to drive you and drop you off and leave you hanging out there. Okay, there's other people out here doing it. And so if you're not comfortable with it, if you've never done it before, you can sit back. You can watch. You just hold a sign, or you could just walk up and down the curb. I don't care.
That's right. You can be on both sides of the road. Some will read from the scriptures. Some will street preach. Some will beg for the women to not kill their babies. The whole church is there, and everybody functioning in their gifts. And here's the thing: you don't have to do anything; just stand there and hold a sign. But something will happen to you when you go for the first time. Something will happen inside of you. when you understand, when you watch those women going in there, they're killing their baby. They're not getting their teeth cleaned. They're going to kill a baby when they go inside. So as Chad said, it's just a different experience for everybody. Some of you old pros at it, some of you not. But we're gonna have a presence here. We're gonna go to a mosque. He said, "What? Yeah, yeah." If you're afraid to go to a mosque, what does that tell you about Islam? Huh? Are you afraid to go to the Methodist Church? Not? Are you afraid to go to a mosque? Why? I got you. And then we're gonna go to the gay pride parade because I want you to see the debauchery, the absolute open debauchery parading in the streets of America. And for the most part, nobody, what's that, Lord? For him to know to do good and not to do it, to him it is what? Sin? Okay. Where is that scripture, Jared? See if we can find that. See if they, in fact, they think I'm making it up. Sin takes many, many forms. There's sin, there's sins of disobedience. Let's see. For him to, Jared's finding it. There it is. Where is that, Jared? We're in James. I love James. I should have known that. For verse 15, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. When you rejoice, when you boast for doing things for the Lord, you've just canceled everything. You rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil, the Lord says. Look at this. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Hey, Coach.
George.
Coach, is that not a sin of omission? And a two-part question. That's a sin of omission. So my question is, I really honestly can't tell you, and if anyone in the queue can tell me, I'd be curious. When's the last time we've ever heard a sermon on sins of omission, and why don't we hear them?
Boy, George, that's a great question. Omission and commission. There's two types of sins. You commit a sin and by doing something sinful, and you commit a sin of omission by not doing something you should have done. So if I see my neighbor, man, beating his wife, and I don't do something about it, that's a sin. It's a sin. To me, to know to do good and not to do it, to me, it's sin. I could have prevented that. You say, well, Coach, you're not going to make any difference outside the abortion clinic. How do you know that? How do you know that? And you know what I'm dealing with in my heart? And all of us should be dealing with our heart. Jared, we all don't need to get mad. I got that video ready. Get that thing ready to play, and then they'll probably censor us. I think we're still censored on YouTube. I'm not sure. Hey, folks, listen. I'm going to say this very slowly. They are killing unborn children. And you know it. Now, what are you doing about it? I'm going to say it again real slow. For him who knows to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. They are killing unborn babies in abortion clinics. And you know it. And what are you doing about it? Can you make the connection, or do I have to make the connection?
Oh, we got it, Coach.
We got it, huh? We're not doing anything about it. We're not doing anything about it. I was thinking today, I was going to do, this morning when I got up, I was thinking, Lord, you know what I really want to do? You know what I really want to do a show on? I really want to do a show on government taxation. That's what I really want to do. I'm going to tell you something. It's unbelievably wicked. Now, right-wing watch will say that I'm telling people not to pay their taxes, and that's not what I'm saying. They've done it to me twice now. But for me to pay for abortion makes me I'm complicit. I'm complicit. And I can't say, well, I have to pay my taxes, Romans 13, because I'm going to get in that here in a second as well. I have to pay him. Government says I have to. No, it doesn't. Government says you have to pay him or you go to jail. But you have a choice. Now, where I come from, we would call that bullying.
Exactly.
When they hold a threat over your head, compelling you to do something that your conscience tells you you shouldn't do, that's bullying. Bullying. They're taking our money and they're doing stuff with our money that is unrighteous. And Jared, we don't get mad. It doesn't bother us. Oh, I was prompted this morning because somebody's just griping about the school levy passed and their taxes went up. And so then I ask myself, are you kidding me? You mean you're paying any money at all to those schools? That doesn't make anybody mad that you are paying money to those schools that is undermining the faith of every Christian kid that goes to that place. Now, some Christians maybe maintain their faith, but the purpose of that school is to undermine everything that the church is teaching. And you're paying for it. You're paying for it. And that's righteous. We pay our taxes to do that stuff. That's righteous. It's righteous that we pay our taxes to kill babies. That's righteous. It's righteous that we pay our taxes to give money to illegal aliens. That's righteous. Are you kidding me? And we're not mad about it. We don't get mad about it. So Jared sent me this clip because Jared really got us rolling on Friday about being mad as hell or whatever. This is from the Clip Network, right? And we have to get this passion. We have to get this zeal. And it's amazing to me. I think this show was made like 1984, a long time ago. I don't remember exactly when it was made. And how right on he was even at this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and how much worse it is today. Go ahead, Jared.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat.
GMO!
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Who are you talking to, Herb?
CGG Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.
God damn it. Get up, get up, get up out of your chair.
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lobe!
Stick your head out of the window, open it, then stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to the
window.
Where
are you going? I want to see if anybody's yelling.
Open it and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling. I'm
mad as hell. How am I going to take this anymore?
I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm mad as hell. I'm not
going to
take it anymore.
I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm mad as hell.
I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell!
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 Okay, Jared, let's go to Acts 17. I was going to take you to Romans 13, but I got to take you to Acts 17. Lord, just impress this upon me. Yeah.
He says it right in there in the beginning. I am a human being and I have value. We don't believe it. Mm. We are created in the image of God and we don't believe it. Otherwise, we'd be mad if we actually believed we had value. If individuals actually believed that they were valuable and that babies were valuable and that life was valuable, they'd get mad. But they don't believe it.
Well, Jared, one of the conversations that if you would go watch one of those, watch the end of that one video where I start this conversation with the guy, I ask him this: who determines value? Who are we in trouble in America when a court can determine somebody a life value of a life? Are we in trouble in America when a mother can determine the value of life? Are we in trouble in America when some thug can determine the value of life? And because of it, we don't understand that if that unborn baby if that's life doesn't have value, mine doesn't really either. Mine doesn't really either. And because we don't understand that and we don't fight for that. And what was it Martin Luther King said? Injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. Picking and choosing who we can kill. And it's okay to kill them, but it's not okay to kill them. And Hillary can lie and steal and get away with it, but you're not paying your taxes. You're going to go to jail. That's unjust weight. The Lord hates it. He hates that unjust weight. And so we are being, what's the word? Persecuted on every side. Now, when Paul said that, he didn't say enjoy it. He said it's the consequences of what you do. You're going to be persecuted on every side. So, of course, you have to ask yourself is, are you being persecuted on every side? And you're probably not being persecuted on every side because you roll over and you let them have it. You roll over and take it.
Coach.
So you're not going to be persecuted if you go along to get along. You'll never be persecuted for that. You only be persecuted when you open up your mouth. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I told you I used to write for an online publication called Room 8. And on this Room 8, there were a bunch of other writers. So one of the writers has recently taken me to task for my calling out Hillary Clinton for all her crimes. So he asserts that simply because she has been prosecuted for these crimes, that no one should call her out on them. I think that's utterly ridiculous. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I believe he also he unfriended me because I won't stop.
Yep, that's right. Stop. Well, there's that double standard, and it's going to remain as long as we let him. As long as we let him. Hey, guys, listen, I want to get into this real quickly here. I'm going to start with chapter 17 of Acts. Man, I got time. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them. As his manner was, Paul went into them, and for three Sabbath days, he tried to reason with them. Tried to get them, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again. He's talking to them about Jesus. Now, Jesus fits into the scriptures. Verse 4 says, and some of them believed, and it consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the women and children, but not a few. So they had a lot of converts. Paul had a lot of converts, as he's shown them from the Bible that this is the Messiah. But the Jews, which believe not, see, there's another set of Jews again. I'm not going to get on that horse. There you go. Moved with envy. They took unto them certain lewd fellows of the base. Just think of the words that Paul's using here. Think of these words he's using. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, thugs, and gathered a company and set all of the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Do you see what's going on? George Soros. They got a George Soros here getting the thugs out in the streets, trying to cause trouble. See it? Do you see it? Go back again, Jared, because they didn't see it. But the Jews, which believed him not, moved with envy, and they took unto them certain loot. They gathered up a bunch of snowflakes. They paid them. They got them out in the streets. They gathered a company, and they set the city on fire and assaulted the house of Jason. Right? And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down come hither also. So they start all this commotion, and then they blame it on the Christian. Going on today, man, goes on at the abortion clinic, whom Jesus hath received, and these say all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's, they said, this guy over here is saying there's another king besides Caesar. Look what's going on here in this city because of, make him be hanged. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Who did? This mob that the Jews stirred up. Went and got the cops and got the elected officials, stirred them all up against Jason and his crew. All he did was just preaching the gospel to them. Yep, in verse 9, and when they had taken security of Jason, when they arrested him and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night, had to sneak him out at night, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This is the Berean Christians. They received it, right? Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women who were Greeks and of men. Not a few of them, a bunch of them did. But when those same Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge of the word of God was now being preached by Paul and Berea, then they went down there and they rose up another mob. Wow. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there. Stood. They didn't leave. They didn't scare them out. And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens. They snuck him out and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. And then they left. Now, when Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So they just snuck Paul out of a place where all types of commotion breaks, and you take him into a new place. You think Paul would have the sense to hide and be quiet, wouldn't you? Lay low. No, but Paul saw what was going on in Athens. He said, oh, enough of that crap. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what's with this babbler? This dude's crazy. He's talking about God all the time. He's talking about Jesus everywhere he goes. Another said he seems to be a settler forth of some strange god because he preached in Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and they brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, who is this guy you're talking about? When you bring certain strange things to our ears and we would know thereof what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things. And then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that your things are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar under this description to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the whole world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things, and he's made of one blood all nations. There goes the Jews out the window. As though he needed anything, seeing he had given all life and breath and all things. He hath made one blood in all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. They should seek the Lord, and if happy, they might feel blah, blah, blah. I don't want to continue reading on that. These guys are moving from town to town to town, raising what? They're preaching the truth, and the devil's lying about them. Causing small, George Soros didn't start it, boys. Didn't start. My. Jump in here, somebody.
Hey, Coach. Yep. That's exactly where I was reading last night in the scripture, Acts 17. And I thought about texting you after I just went through that election and saying the things I said. I thought, oh, I should text Coach and tell him where I'm at tonight. And then you bring that up this morning. That was great.
Yeah, they don't get it. They don't get it. So Jared, let's go to Romans 13 real quick. Am I running out of time? Dang on. Sorry, I've hogged the show today. Let me make this really clear to you. Paul wrote the book of Romans. The book of Romans is the treatise on Christian, so-called Christian government. Jared, pull up It says the Book of Romans. Yeah, this is from Chuck Swindoll. We have to understand what the Book of Romans is. Boys and girls, listen. The Book of Romans was written by Paul, a Christian, to the Christians in Rome about Christian government. This is not about civil government. The Book of Romans is not about civil government. Church government. Government amongst believers. This does not apply to non-believers. If anybody's out there telling you that we have to obey a wicked government, they're lying to you. How do I know that? Well, Paul, who wrote Romans, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, most of it from jail. So if we were supposed to obey wicked authority, why didn't Paul practice what he preached? Why didn't he? Why, when they told him to stop preaching, did they let him out of jail and he went right down the main street corner and started doing it again? Okay, so here's what it says. This is interesting. It's from Chuck Swindoll. I found this morning. I'm going to try to read fast. Paul had never been to Rome when he wrote the letter to the Romans, so he had clearly expressed his desire to go there. Apostle greeted 26 different people by name. In this letter, he mentions 26 different people by name, personalizing a letter from a man who would have been a personal stranger to most of the people who read it. No doubt they had heard of Paul and would have been honored to receive the letter, but they did not know Paul. So where are we? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans from the Greek city of Corinth in AD 57, just 3 years after 16-year-old Nero had ascended to the throne as a Roman emperor. The political situation in the capital now yet deteriorated for the Roman Christians as Nero began his persecution of them until he made the escape after the fire in 64. So when Paul writes this, there's not a whole lot of turmoil in Rome. Therefore, Paul wrote to a church that was experiencing a time of relative peace, but a church that he felt needed a strong dose of basic gospel doctrine. Writing from Corinth, Paul likely encountered a diverse array of people and practices, and from gruff sailors, meticulous tradesmen, to wealthy idolaters and enslaved Christians. The prominent Greek city was also a hotbed of sexual immorality and idol worship. So when Paul wrote in Romans about the sinfulness of humanity, where the power of God's grace to miraculously completely changed lives, he knew that of which he spoke. It was played out before his eyes every day. So why is the Book of Romans so important? The letter to the Romans stands as the clearest and most systematic presentation of Christian doctrine in all the scriptures. Paul began by discussing that which is most easily observed in the world, the sinfulness of all humanity. All people have been condemned due to our rebellion against God. However, God's in his grace offers us justification by faith in his son Jesus. And when we're justified by God, we receive redemption or salvation because Christ's blood covers our sin. But Paul made it clear that the believer's pursuit of God doesn't stop with salvation. It continues as each of us is sanctified, made holy, as we persist in following him. Paul's treatment of these issues offers a logical and complete presentation of how a person can be saved from the penalty and the power of sin. So what's the big idea? Primary theme running through Paul's letter to the Romans is the revelation of God's righteousness and his plan for salvation, what the Bible calls the gospel. Paul showed how human beings lack God's righteousness because of sin, receive God's righteousness when God justifies by faith, demonstrates God's righteousness by being transformed from rebels to follow, and confirms his righteousness when God saves the Jews. And aptly, his righteousness is practiced throughout their lives. That's all there in the Book of Romans. Okay, so look, here's the point I'm trying to make. How do I apply this? The structure of Romans provides a hint to the importance of the book in our everyday lives. Beginning with 11 chapters of doctrine, the book then translates into 5 chapters of practical instruction. This union between doctrine and life illustrates for the Christians the absolute importance of both doctrine and living it out. Does your day-to-day life mirror the beliefs that you hold, or do you find yourself in a constant battle with hypocrisy? Take heed of the doctrine you find within the pages of Romans, but don't forget to put it into practice as well. So when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, the church in Rome, when he wrote that letter, he's telling them, obey your authorities. And the authorities were who? The religious leaders over them. This is a new faith. This is a new way of living. This is a new way. And Paul's saying, listen, these guys are going to try to show you how to make it in this new way. And if you follow them and then you obey them, then they're going to take you in the right direction. But today, Romans 13, Jared, now you can go there real quick. I'm running out of time talking fast. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained are of God. Did God ordain Barack Hussein Obama? Did he ordain Hillary Clinton? Now, wait a minute. Those are the judgment of God. Is Hillary Clinton God's representative? Are you telling me that God agrees with Hillary? Harry Reid? God does? And God agrees with Barack Obama, and we're supposed to, if the devil himself were elected president of the United States, we're supposed to believe him? This is how we've got into the mess. Romans 13 is written from a Christian to Christians about Christian government, not secular. Help me wrap it up here. That's how we got in this mess. Come on in here. They won't elect Jeff Klein. They won't elect Jeff Klein because he wants to talk about Jesus. Can't have that going on here. Separation between the church and state here. Can't have that going on.
Yeah, it's a big trick. It's a big deception. That's all it is. It's deception.
That's right. That's right. Hey, that's right. Yes.
Hillary Clinton would be the most wicked woman to walk the planet. I mean, she doesn't have a real education. She's getting more money. Do you know that New Zealand ponied up another $3-4 million for that idiot? I mean, seriously.
Hey, will you do me a favor, Vince? Will you just pray she gets saved? Go ahead, Jared.
I will pray she gets saved. I will do that.
Well, Coach, we were either a Christian nation or we weren't. We were either good or not. We need to remember. Me and David Arthur talked about this a little bit last night. We have to remember our history and the good parts about it. You know what? I talked to a woman in the airport on the way down to Texas, and she says to me, "Oh, I don't agree with you on the Muslim thing. I'm a prepper, but I don't agree with you on the Muslim thing." And she's like, "Have you ever heard of the Trail of Tears? You know, oh, we killed all the Indians or whatever." And it's like, what good have we done? Please tell me. Okay, sure, we get pumped all the bad stuff from the mainstream media and from everywhere else. What good have we done? In what is it, 2 Timothy or wherever? Whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, whatever things are righteous, think on these things. Let's do that about our history. What things are pure that came out of our country? What things are righteous? What things are good? And why are we just going to let that go? Why are we just gonna say, well, I guess we'll just go into hell because we're all sinners and just wicked people, and we deserve it? And it's like, look, you don't want God to get involved. We don't want him involved. No, hang on a minute. We got this. But we're just letting it. We're just. you gotta remember.
Yeah, we don't, and so. As a result of that, the churches have taken a hands-off approach to government, right? And because, can I tell you the truth? Our fallback position is because we've lost the culture. We get to say, well, we win in the end. Like, there's some consolation in that, see? There's no consolation in that. Absolutely no consolation. I'd say, wouldn't it be great if God won now and in the end? Wouldn't that glorify him more now? If babies were alive, were able to live today, and... Amen, he takes over in the end. What do you think he meant when he said occupy? Did that mean? Occupy till I come. Occupy, hold my spot.
Well, Coach, it's also just, it's more than just the abortions or just more than killing kids.
It's satanic.
It's child sacrifice, and it's where the dark side gets their power. It's one of their main veins of power.
Yes.
It's an artery, if you will.
And it is spitting in the face of God. That's what it is. Spitting in the face of God. And those of us who carry the name of Christ, we don't want to get involved, right? Don't want to get involved. Don't want to make waves. Don't want to make enemies. They may not come to Jesus if we tell them the truth. We may turn them off. You may be too harsh. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. And I'm going to tell you this. It ain't even about them. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, draw all men unto me. You go to the abortion clinic, lift Jesus up. Anybody out there, you guys doing that regularly? You going to the homosexuals where the homosexuals are and you lifting Jesus up? Are you doing that? Or are you just sitting in your churches and pretending to be praying about it? You don't have to answer because I know. I know the answer to it. I know. We have to lift him up. We have to go where they are. We have to go earnestly contend for the faith. That's what we're called to do. God bless you. See you tomorrow.